our Bibles
can
out.
Can we move this silly thing?
Can we move it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Man.
Picky pastors.
Yeesh. Good morning. Lucky for you, Ollie preached half my sermon, so I'd like to tell you I'd keep it short, but I'd be lying. Amen? I want to start out telling you I don't normally like to give titles to speeches, but I'm going to go ahead and title this one Crossroads, because in life we all face a lot of crossroads. So I want to start out today reading in Luke, the 10th chapter, if you'd like to turn there. And I'm going to actually start at verse 25. And when you get there, say amen. Okay, so Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And it said, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up and tested Jesus. That would be a lawyer or somebody who understood the Old Testament. He said, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you shall live. But he wanted to be justified himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Sounds like Chicago to me. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, everybody looked down at the Samaritans. A Samaritan. As he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell on the hands of the robber? The expert of law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. At the home of Mary and Martha, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Martha has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you, Father. You gave us your prized possession, Jesus, Father, to stand in the gap. You promised us your Holy Spirit that you wouldn't leave us as orphans. And Father, today we just pray that your word would come forth out of my mouth, Father God, to touch and change lives. Father, we need you. We need your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to actually look at these scriptures going now backwards. The first part I want to look at is Martha and Mary. The problem with the church age today is we have been distracted. We have become busy being under Satan's yoke. We have taken on things that God has never called us to do. We've got carried away with sports and entertainment instead of being in the presence of God. If I was going to describe the church in the whole today in America, I would say we've become lethargic. A state of slugginess, drowsiness, a lack of energy or mental alertness. We've become lethargic because we've taken on the busyness of life and forgotten the one that gave his life for us. We don't spend time reading our word or attending church or in worship or in prayer. If your prayer life consists of, now I lay me down to sleep, it is not a prayer life. We don't read our Bible, but we want to tell the pastor every time he quoted something wrong. If I quote something wrong tonight, see Tracy. All right? See Tracy. He'll let me know. But we have. We settled for second best, and we haven't settled for what God has had for our life. We play video games, and our marriages are a wreck. Or the example of our marriages is horrible to the world when it's 50% both ways. Why? One thing I hated counseling in marriage is when you look at the wife, you say, submit to your husband. That ain't happening. You tell the husband, love your wives when she submits to me. And neither of us are willing to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus and say, let your word be done. Let me be the example of marriage in my household. Let me be the man of God, the woman of God that he called me to. For your family, for your neighbors, to your loved ones. Be that example. Quit being busy. Quit being lethargic. The time is short. What shocked me about 3 weeks ago when I got on the phone and I looked and the river Euphrates is drying up and it shook me to my core. I know what that means. Do you? If you have been a Christian more than 5 years and haven't read the New Testament, you become lethargic. And my question to you is why? If you've been a Christian for 10 years and you haven't read the whole Bible, my question to you is why? We have settled for entertainment instead of the Word of God. We settle for parties instead of the presence of God. When's the last time you got alone with God? When's the last time that he heard from you? Better yet, when's the last time that you heard from him? We all have the Word of God. I had a children come into children's church one day. The kid was 10 years old, and he goes, Pastor Duane, do you know who Mephibosheth was? And I go, I do, but how do you? We were learning this from my mom last night. Praise God for a teaching mom. And so he questioned me, well, who was he? Well, he was one of Jonathan's sons that was crippled. Boy, that would have been a tough question if I didn't know who he was. I had a 10-year-old or 11-year-old ask me this question in Sunday school, and I can't have a conversation about the New Testament with most of the church world today. See, there's a problem. What do we do with this man named Jesus? What do we do with him? He was fully man when he died on the cross, but he was fully God when he rose from the dead. And he's not playing church today. He's not. Have we ever read, whatever a man soweth, he reaps? So if you love your wife, she will in turn love you. It's not hard. We make it hard. We cheer at sports arenas. We play video games. Do you know I have had more problems in marriages this past year I heard of from video games? When I was 18, I quit playing video games. And then one day I read in the Bible, Paul said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I don't care if you play video games, but at the expense of your marriage, it's costing you too much. Do you understand me? Especially this younger generation. If it's costing you your marriage, it's costing you too much. Distracted. Football games. events. When's the last time you just sat alone and said, God, I want to hear from you. God, let me hear what you have for me in the Word. I had a lady one day said after church, can I talk to you? I said, sure. She recently got saved. She sat down. She said, Pastor Duane, you're going to think I'm crazy. I go, why? She goes, God spoke to me. I said, I'd think you was crazy if he didn't. Sometimes we got to quit being distracted and quiet the mind and get into worship and focus on what really matters in your life. What really matters is your example to a dying and hurting world. I love the parable that Jesus gave of the Samaritan. He didn't say the Samaritan was saved, but you would assume the priest was. He didn't say the parable was redeemed, but you'd think the Levite was. He worked in the church. The priest taught in the church. And they were too distracted and too holy to reach out and help somebody in need. Isn't that what we're called for? Aren't we called to love one another? A lot of times we try to put in words like, well, I'm wondering if that guy that got beat up was saved. I don't know. It doesn't say. Does it matter? We are to be an example to those around us, and we seem to have left it by the wayside. Love covers a multitude of sins. If you get nothing right in this Bible, you better have love. It's the most important part of it. We say we love our wives, but we talk down to them. When God's called us to build them up, we say we love God, but we pray for a different spouse. I heard a guy going to a seminar, he said, I'm leaving my wife. Biblically, you are wrong and you're in sin. You're wrong. You're in sin. Repent. I've been through a divorce, one of the ugliest things that will have happen in your life, another crossroads. You will have crossroads. You will have pain. And I'll give you an example of mine. In September 25th, 11 o'clock, going out to lunch, just got done witnessing a lady. I get a phone call. My daughter is dead. Baby pop. My ex-wife calls me hysterical on the other side of the phone. She's dead. She's dead. Amanda's dead. Click. All right. Crossroad. What do you do then? Then my son calls. Me and Earl's driving off. Called the work. Said, I got to go. Driving down the road. Earl said, I think you ought to take this phone call, pull over, and I'll take off driving. Sure enough, she was dead. She was killed by her ex-boyfriend. He strangled her, shot her 11 times, called his mom and said, Mom, I killed Amanda. I'm going to die. I'm committing suicide now, and blew off his head. Yet pastors don't have any problems. It's by the grace of God I stand. So during that time, it was challenging. Tracy, Pastor Jim, Kathy, Kelly, John, Mark, they came over and sat with me. They didn't bring their Bibles. They didn't say, well, Duane, you know, Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together. They didn't come over and said, Brother Duane, you must be in sin for this to happen. They didn't condemn me. They came there as friends. I won't forget the words of Pastor Jim. He said, Job's friends were great until they opened their mouths. And I thought, you know, you're correct. They were great till they opened their mouth. And believe it or not, as a pastor, I was shocked at some of the things I heard. I'll give you some of them. Well, those are her choices. Boy, there's a lot of love and mercy in those words. Well, God gives his hardest battles for his toughest warriors. There's no comfort in that. And then one day I seen R.C. Sproul's, and then it was an old video of him and John MacArthur talking, and a lady lost her. A friend went up and said, a friend of mine lost her daughter 2 years ago, was killed. Turned around, and a year later lost his baby, his Sid, Sid's sudden infant's death. Thank you. And R.C. Sproul stands up and says, I got this. Can I tell you something? People don't need you preaching to them when they lost a loved one. I haven't found that in the scripture. But I want to share with you, in case you ever run upon this scenario. Like, I've had a lot of things, but being a mature Christian, I can handle them better than most. If I was in my flesh, I probably would have bit off a couple of people's heads. But I want to share some to you so you understand. And this is important of knowing the word of God. So when tragedy happens to you or is next to you, a loved one by you, you would know the right things to do. And I'm going to share this with you. It was in Romans chapter 12, verse 14. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with the people of low positions. Do not be conceited. Nowhere's in there did it say to preach. Nowhere's in there did it say to quote scripture. Ironically, my niece Megan called up on the phone and cried with me for an hour. But the only thing she said was, Uncle, I love you so much. That's all I needed. So if you know someone going through pain, give them a hug. Say, I'm sorry. Anything else isn't going to do any good. Is that hard? Can we walk in love? Can we walk according to the word of God? Let me tell you what, if someone would preach to me that, they might have spit teeth. That's how my emotions ran. It was a tough situation. I've been battling through it. The church called and said, Pastor Duane, would you like meals to be brought? I said, no. I wanted to get a hold of my emotions before I said something stupid. See, the problem is, it's okay to you guys to be upset and angry and frustrated, but when a pastor is, he's condemned. Can I be honest with you? I'm just as human as you. I'm no more valuable to God than you are. And we're all going through the valley of the shadow of death the same way, one step at a time. The only difference is we're walking that step with Jesus or we're walking it by ourselves. And if you're walking it by yourself, it's a scary place to be. There is no hope for this world outside of Christ. So I get a knock on the door, and there's a lady from the church, and she's smiling, and she said, Pastor, I know what they said. I don't care. I just want to see you. And she brought a plate of cookies. That's how you should approach it. She goes, and by the way, here's some cookies. She walked in love. And that's how we should. We should walk in love at all times. We're going to go back a little bit more now. So who's your neighbor? Ugh. Who's in need? That's simply what Jesus is saying. Who's your neighbor? Who's in need? Who can you be a light to? Who could we help? I remember my neighbor Mike had surgery on his shoulder. So early one morning before work, 4:30 in the morning, I'm shoveling his sidewalk. I didn't tell him. I just knew he had shoulder surgery. He was born again, too. About an hour later, a snowblower came by and blew off the sidewalk. And I said, man, I did all that work for nothing. But that's the example we have to be. But we get so distracted and we say, you know, I'm saved, Pastor Duane. I don't have to attend church. You got a chapter and verse? Well, it's not like it's a felony. It's a misdemeanor. You're correct. The more you miss, the meaner you get. You're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the spirit. There's no other way to walk. I need you. We need one another. But if you're not going to take your relationship with God serious now, when are you? If you're the same way now that you were when you 5 years ago when you were saved, why? You know, we think, well, I got gifts. Do you know you will not be judged about one gift you have? That was given to God. What he will judge you on is your fruit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, temperance, self-control. That's the fruit God's looking for in you. What for? Because the world has none of it. It has no peace, no hope, no joy. None of it. And if they don't see Christ in you, who will they see Christ in? All I want to hear when I get to heaven is, well done, good and faithful servant. All I care to hear. I'm going to back up a little more now. One of the biggest crossroads I faced as a Christian was Jesus Christ. What do I do with this man, Jesus? The Son of Man, the Son of God. What do I do with Jesus? Seems like the first crossroads in most people's life, they either accept him or they walk away from him. And that seems to be the first crossroad. But the next crossroad I found interesting when I read for the first time, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And I'm staring at this book and I'm like, how can I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might? I didn't know how. Is it even possible? It is in Christ. It is in Christ. So I read the word, and it went from here to here. It took me 7 times going through the whole book to get it from there to here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. So how do you do that? I'll help you. James 4:7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. So how do we draw near to God? We read, we pray, we attend church. Iron sharpens iron. All through that journey of my daughter's death, I knew God was with me. Jim asked me one day, Dwayne, how you doing? I go, I'm mad at God. He goes, you're not the first. I go, I know. David was mad at God. Jeremiah was mad at God. I'm in good company. And then Jim looked at me and he said, hey, do you have any guns? I'm a cowboy, Jim. Yes, I got plenty of guns. I hunt. Yes, I got guns. He goes, do I need to take them? No. That's never crossed my mind with suicide. Ironically, the guy that killed my daughter, I never was angry with him or mad. Matter of fact, I gave him a Bible at one time, and I was hoping he'd get saved. Even today, I have no anger for him. I know it's a demonic battle, and he lost. Did God love him? Absolutely. Did God die for him? Yes. It broke my heart that his mom lost her second son to suicide. I was broken for that. Did I witness enough to him? Was I a good enough example for him? And then the question becomes, what happened if she wasn't equally yoked? Would she be here today? See, the word of God is there to protect you, but we ignore it thinking that's okay and it's not okay. The warnings in the Bible are to protect you, to help you. But we sow seeds and reap a harvest we don't want, and then we cry out to God and blame God. Be not unequally yoked. And half the times when I'm counseling people, they already seen it coming. God put it there to protect you. How many do we break all the time? Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal, and that includes your taxes. Well, it's a tough one. There's a lot of times I think, man, if I change one line, one dot, thou shalt not steal. We live together and we wonder why our lives are a wreck. We sleep around and wonder why we don't hear from God. The church has become lethargic. We cannot let the world influence us. We have to influence the world. We don't need any more entertainment. We don't need light shows. What we need is the Word of God and our example of being a man of God. So the days went on my job when I felt angry, and I remember there was a couple days that if someone would just say the wrong thing, I could have them spit some teeth. And all of a sudden, Roy would come up. He would have the right words at the right time. Every single time I was mad and angry and I got the job and I just wanted to release anger. See, that was my baby. That's my reality. I don't know how Roy did it, except he just loved on me. He'd walk away and I'd feel calm again and peace again. And besides, he was bigger than me. I couldn't have him spit teeth. I'd spin him back. But he always had the right words to say. And I knew it was God using him to work through, to help me get through my situation. Who are you helping to get through theirs? We battle with drugs. We battle with alcohol. And how do we defeat it? Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. We do the battle in all kinds of sin, and it's simple. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. But we make it difficult. But Dwayne, you don't understand. I want to see that football game. What is the most important thing in your life? Think about it. Your kids, your grandkids, your wife, your marriage, or your relationship with God. Because you're a better husband when you're walking with God than you ever are walking, not walking with God. You're a better dad when you're walking with God than when you're not. You're a better provider when you're walking with God. You're a better wife and a submissive wife when you're walking close to God. For Peter says, a quiet and gentle spirit is of great worth unto the Lord, talking about the wives. I hate counseling husband, wife, just to be honest with you. Tracy can have all that. Because you guys know the word, but you don't want to hear it. You want me to be on your side. And all I could do is rightfully divide the word of God. God has called you to love your wife, period. Why is it so difficult? See, I can make my wife blossom, or I can crush her spirit. Sad. It's true. But when I'm walking with God, I'm lifting her up. And if you lay your hand on a spouse, don't let your associate pastor here find out about it, because we're going to have a serious conversation. You should never, ever lay your hands on your spouse. Either way, I've seen it both ways. And if you have, shame on you, repent. God's called you to walk in love. Not when you feel like it. Not when times are going good. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Isn't it nice to know God's thinking about you? Think about what he just said. For I know the thoughts I think towards you. God is thinking about you. He's trying to give you a better life, a better hope, a better future. But the church is trying to see how much sin we can get away with and still make it to heaven. Why don't we see how close we can get to God and how much sin he can get out of us? Somehow we miss the mark. And we wonder why in Revelation the last church is the church of Laodicea and it's good for nothing. Jesus said, boy, I wish you were hot or cold, but being lukewarm makes me want to vomit. He goes, I'll spit you out of my mouth. What do you do when you spit something out of your mouth? Do you reject it? It's rejected. You are the light of the world. The closer you are with God, the brighter your light shines. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So I'll finish 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord's thoughts of peace. Does the world need peace? Desperately. And not of evil. To give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me. And you shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you. In other words, God said, I'll listen to you. And you shall seek me. And you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Sounds like we got some work to do. Psalm 101. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, worship. I find out that most God talks to me when I go in my room and I shut everything off, or I'm on my gazebo and I'm just worshiping God. I'm trying to push the past behind me, the cares of this world off of me, and I just want to worship God because in his presence I find peace. And then I hear him talk to me. You know, God does not owe me an answer. Why? Because he's God and I am not. That's where rubber hits the road. Did God know when my daughter was going to die? Absolutely. Did he know how she was going to die? Yes, because if he didn't, he would not be God. I know the reality of this whole thing. Doesn't change the fact I love my daughter. But it's true. I know who I believe in. And if it wasn't from him, I probably would have ran to a bottle. Can I be honest? See, God brought me out of that lifestyle of sin and anger and bitterness and wrath and foul language and tobacco. Delivered me all of it. How? I drew near to God. But that crossroad is still Jesus Christ. He's that crossroad. We either serve him or we don't. We either accept him or we go through this life on our own. That's reality. David said in the Psalms, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is coming for everybody. Knocking on the door. Reality. But I love what David started out in the 23rd Psalm. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. What is the shepherd's job to the sheep? It means everything to the sheep. David understood that he was a shepherd. He knew that the shepherd took care of the sheep. He fed the sheep. He protected the sheep. Some people don't like the Psalms. They say, Dwayne, we've been in Psalms a long time. Yes, and I enjoy every one of them. Because Psalms is one of those books I can see that the people on those pages are just as human as I am. When David cries out to God, forgive me. Judge me according to your mercies. Not my stupidity. I paraphrased. I have to say that sometimes. God, forgive me because of your mercies, not my stupidities. I love the Psalms because I can see where David's crying out to the Lord because his heart is broken and he lost his son. And the only hope he has is Christ. And you have people say, well, he's not in the Old Testament. Read it again. I can show you Jesus all over the Old Testament. You ever want a Bible lesson in? Come sit at my house. I'd love to share. Us preachers don't run out of words. I'm going to continue in Psalm 100, verse 2 goes, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing worship. Know ye that the Lord is God. Lord. I'm kind of like Jim. Half of us don't even know the name of God in the church world today. God's covenant name. Find it all over the Old Testament. I can ask people in many denominations, many churches, and some will say Jehovah. Bad translation. God's name was never Jehovah. Still isn't today. It's Yahweh. It doesn't say call on the name of the Lord. It says call on the name of Yahweh. Lord's a title. He is Lord. But his name is Yahweh. You can call me pastor. I still got a name. It says call on the name of Yahweh, for he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. And the sheep of his pastors. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. You want to get in the presence of God? Learn to worship. Praise him. God doesn't care about the Super Bowl. If you can root for your team in the Super Bowl, can't you give God a little glory? Can we give God a little glory? So when I read the Psalms, I understand how the person is feeling. Whether he's rejoicing or he's in pain, I get a little picture of someone's personal life and find out they're just as human as I am. All of us walk through the valley of the shadow of death. All of us need a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're walking in darkness and you don't even know it. I know what happened to my daughter was demonic. You don't have to tell me. Demonic at its core. I was shocked in this church how many people have lost a child or two. I was shocked on the job site why witnessing to people, how many of them have lost loved ones. One guy came up to me and said, you know, my wife struggles with that real bad. Her dad killed her mom and committed suicide. She's living with her grandma. So what did I do? I invited him to church. I loved on him. A couple electricians talked to me about it, and they weren't saved. So I said, there's one thing I want you to remember through all this, and I want you to remember this good today. Jesus, don't leave this planet without him. I go, do you guys understand what I'm saying to you? Do not leave this planet without him. It's the best decision you ever make. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Do not leave this planet without him. Wednesday of last week, me and my brother walking over a hill, and a guy was walking with us. The guy was raised Catholic, and he calls Catholic a cult. He wants nothing to do with God. And as we're walking, he told me that his girlfriend's dad was about to pass away, and he's terrified. Well, yeah, he doesn't have Jesus. I would be too. He's terrified. Said he should be dead. The doctors don't know why he's still alive. And he goes, well, I believe after this, there's going to be some way, somehow, that we're going to have another chance. And I said, can I be honest with you? I go, Jesus, if that was my son, and I gave him to you, and he hung on a cross, and he was whipped and beaten and tortured, and you refuse to accept him, there would be hell to pay. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, I understand that. But yet we trample the foot of the cross by being a lousy example to those around us in our marriage, in our households, not attending church. Who have you witnessed to in the past year? Who have you been the body of Christ to? I'm just putting the rubber to the road. All right, I love every one of you. The kindness you guys have shown me. Thank you. Thank you. But what I want to do is see each and every one of you rejoicing in heaven next to me with all your families, not part of them, with all your grandkids. Do we have the same vision? Do we have the same vision? Do you want your kids in heaven? That's my heart. But I want to see the neighbor's kids in heaven. I want to see my neighbor's families there. At my daughter's funeral, I was amazed at how many people that I haven't seen for 10 or 20 years showed up. And just to love on me. That's the body of Christ. People I've been in ministry with 20 years ago were there. A lady came up to me, she said, Dwayne, do you remember me? Absolutely, I remember you. Her daughter came up bawling because she hung around Amanda growing up. My baby was 33 years old. I could have used another 33 years. But that's reality, and I hope to God that never happens to you. I really do. More pain than I thought I can handle. But I know this, God never left me, nor has he forsaken me. Galen goes, I'm worried about your faith. I didn't think I was strong enough to pull myself out of the Father's hands. You're either a child of God or you're not. You're either serious about your walk or you're not. So the question today is, first one is, do I have Jesus? Have I accepted Jesus? Second question I want to ask you is, have I surrendered to Jesus? That's reality. I faced losing a mom. I faced losing my dad. I faced losing a friend. I faced losing a cousin. Now I face losing my baby. Reality. But I know God still loves me. I know he still has work he wants me to do. Because if he didn't, I wouldn't be here. I know he has more people he wants me to share the gospel with. But I can only share for a few. Where you're at, God wants you to share the love of Jesus too. He does. I never doubted through this that God didn't love me. I didn't agree with him, but he's still God. But I take my relationship with God seriously. I knew I would be okay on the other end. But when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, there is no joy except in the Lord. I came to church one Wednesday night, and I had more peace than I've had in years. I sat down, and it was just so peaceful for me. Looked up and said, thank you. Because in times like that, it's hard to find peace. It really is. So my question to you, what are you going to do with this man named Jesus? He was fully man when he died on the cross. Fully God when he rose again. And because of his death and resurrection, we all have a chance of a better life. So Nehemiah, you around? I'm calling Nehemiah up. I'm going to do an altar call here. So if you're getting baptized, you need to change. Now would be a good time. So if you haven't received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, first question is, why not? Greatest thing you'd ever do. So I'm going to ask you, if you haven't received Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, I want you to come forward so I can pray with you. So you don't have to go through this world alone. Greatest decision you ever make. If we have problems with sin, or you haven't been with God, if you haven't drawn near to God, I want you to repent. I want you to pray. Let's go ahead and pray.